Now we're going to read two passages of Scripture today as we come to the Word of God. The first is found in John's Gospel, under that great chapter of the shepherd and his sheep in John chapter 10. We'll read the first 11 verses together, and then we'll turn back again to Psalm 23, and we'll read that Psalm together this morning as well. But we're turning first of all to John chapter 10, and we're going to read together at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then Psalm 23, which we all know well, but we're going to read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, just before we come to it to think about these verses, let's bow for a moment in prayer. Father, we come again quietly to you. We realize that we're not the only people meeting in a place like this today. We thank you for the work of our sister churches within our association of churches. We thank you for all those who are ministering your word just now, and we pray for them. We ask our Father for your blessing upon them and your blessing upon those vacant churches who are looking for an under shepherd and for pastoral care. We ask that you will be unto them everything that they need. We pray, our Father, that you'll bless everywhere where your word will be preached today. Lord, irrespective of denominations, we simply pray that the word of the Lord will have free course in the hearts of so many people across this land and further afield. We realize, our Father, that this nation of ours is in desperate need. Our prayer would be like the psalmist of old, wilt thou not revive us again? That we, thy people, may rejoice in thee. Our Father, we look to you for your blessing upon your word. right across our land today. For ourselves, our Father, just now, we've been involved in many things throughout the past week. Sometimes we've been hot spiritually, at other times cold. Sometimes, our Father, we've been busy and perhaps too busy. We feel to take that necessary time alone in the quiet place around your word for times of prayer. Some of us, our Father, have been battling the elements this past week. And we're sitting here this morning and perhaps we feel battered and bruised in the heat of the battle. Some of us, perhaps, our Father, just finding it difficult to keep going. Feeling all alone and that nobody cares, that nobody understands. And some of us, our Father, perhaps in Bypath Meadows, away from the Lord, away from the tender shepherd's care. Father, there are so many needs. Needs that the Lord Jesus Christ alone can meet. We believe, our Father, that we're in the right place at the right time this morning. For the Word of God will be open to us. So grant that the Holy Spirit will be the preacher. And grant that all of us will learn lessons that would encourage us and help us as we face the battles amidst the blessings that you bestow on our lives. Father, please speak to us gently, lovingly, and personally today, because we ask it all in the Savior's name. Amen. We've begun a little series last Lord's Day morning, which I'm calling Sermons on the Divine Shepherd and His Flock. I said that I was hoping to use these Sunday mornings as an opportunity for us to be refreshed and restored, as an opportunity for us to be lifted above our circumstances and drawn closer to the only one today who can meet our need, and we've thought about him already. We began by looking at Psalm 23 and verse 1, where we noted the uniqueness of our relationship with God, because throughout the Old Testament, this is a theme that comes to us time and time again in various writings. God is always described as the shepherd of his people. And in Psalm 23, verse 1, we read those lovely words that we know so well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As far as David was concerned, he had a very special relationship because it was something that was not only important to him, it was something that was very intimate to him. God was his shepherd. He knew in all the changing circumstances of life, his relationship with God was such that he could trust in him at all times, even when the days were difficult, even when the nights were long and dark and dreary. Such was his relationship. He knew he could trust in God at all times. He had a very secure relationship because not only was it one of intimacy, it was one of security. God was not just the one who provided for him. God was his great protector. And of course, he had a very satisfying relationship. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or Jehovah is my shepherd, because of that, I lack absolutely nothing. He had everything in his God that he needed, and he rested and trusted implicitly in him. Today, as we continue with our little series, I'm bringing you here to Psalm 23, verse 2. If we've seen the uniqueness of our relationship, I want you to see the richness of our relationship. Listen to what the psalmist says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sometimes as Christians, we don't fully appreciate the unique relationship we have with God. And sometimes as Christians, we don't understand the ways in which God tends to lead us. Beloved, we've all been, I'm sure, at times in a place We're in the midst of the circumstances that have almost seemed to overwhelm us. I'm sure we have asked the question of God, Lord, what is it that you're doing? Why is it, Lord, that you have brought me this way? Why do I find myself in a situation? It has come about suddenly. There's been a change in my circumstances. Lord, I'm finding it very difficult to cope. Why is it that you bring me this way? Well, I think the psalmist helps us here to bring these things into perspective, to see what God would want us to understand in our ongoing relationship with Him. Here's the first thing to remember. I'm calling it the shepherd's constraint. The shepherd's constraint. Here's what the psalmist says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Douglas MacMillan, as a young boy, had been a shepherd. He had worked on the family farm on the most westerly part of the British mainland, along with his brothers and his aging father. The area they worked was vast, and their flock of sheep was large, and young Douglas learned many valuable lessons as he grew up pertaining to the role of a shepherd. He was converted to Christ on the 14th of June in 1955, and he left caring for 2,000 breeding ewes to care for the people of God in a pastoral ministry. In his ministry, he shared the lessons he had learned as a shepherd. And if you can get your hands on his little book, I would encourage you to buy it. It's on the 23rd Psalm. It's called The Lord My Shepherd. But in that book, Douglas MacMillan, he states four reasons why sheep will not lie down. He says they will not lie down because of fear. You ever seen dogs going into a field, a flock of sheep? Did you ever see any of them lying down while the dogs approached? No, not one of them. They're up and they're scurrying to other parts of the field. They're looking for a means of escape because fear has overwhelmed them. And even if they've been sitting down, whatever they've been doing, they're to their feet and they're away because of fear. Secondly, he says they will not lie down because of antagonism within the flock. Never gone past a field or perhaps been out for a walk and you've walked down past a field and you've seen two rams or two sheep headbutting? That's the way they sort it out. They stand back and they look at each other and they rush in and they headbutt each other. Tell you this, if we did that in the local church, a lot of people wouldn't be out with sore heads. But antagonism causes them not to lie down. Thirdly, he says they will not lie down if something is annoying them. How often have you and I been in situations where we've gone to bed and the night watch has come and it has gone and the morning has come and we've hardly closed an eyelid? Why? Because something has been eating inside. Because something has caused us to worry and to fret for the whole evening. And a response like a bear in the morning with a sore head, I never got a wink's sleep. Here's the fourth reason, he says. They'll not lie down because they're hungry. I've been able to deal with that over the years because we got a microwave. And you can get up and have a feed and be back in bed in 3 minutes. So there's no need to be lying half the night hungry. But it's true. And sheep will not lie down if they're hungry. But I'm sure that these things could be applied to the daily walk of many a Christian today. There are many Christians who just cannot or won't lie down in order that they might find rest and find refreshment for their souls. And it's taking toll on their lives. It's taking toll on their health. It's taking toll on their family lives and on their spiritual lives. We have never lived in a generation today that is so much stressed out. What's wrong with so-and-so? He's off with stress. stressed out, weary, worn, can't rest, fretful, on and on it goes. Now, David brings to our consideration here something of great importance, something that is very, very practical for all of us to learn today. You see, there are many Christians discouraged and despondent, worn out in the work of the Lord, because they don't take time out to refresh themselves and rest. Many Christians today, they've come apart at the seams because they didn't come apart from their busy lives to spend time alone with God. There are many Christians who are neglecting themselves, and I have to say this, they are neglecting their families because they will not take time to rest and relax and spend time away from what they normally do. And it takes its toll physically, mentally, and spiritually. We're living through an era where spirituality and activity have become greatly confused. We think that activity and spirituality are the same thing. They're not. I have met people who not one night in the week do they spend at home with their family, and they're running to this meeting and they're running to that meeting and they're running to this prayer group and they're running to that prayer group, and they're out every single night of the week. They're worn out, their family's at home neglected, and they think they're super spiritual. Activity does not necessarily mean spirituality. And sometimes it would do us well that we stop running and sat down quietly and waited on the Lord. If I could change one thing about my pastoral ministry, I'll tell you what I'd do. When my children were growing up, I wouldn't have been running 5 and 6 nights in the week listening to people complain about things that don't matter while my children grew up, and I never saw them doing it at times. And you parents, God has given you children. You take care of them and you spend some time with them. It's profitable time. It's important time. And if you neglect it, you neglect them. The psalmist says this, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." There are times it's necessary to rest. There are times when it's necessary to recover from the spiritual battles that leave us battered and bruised. There are times when it's important to slow down and even lie down to find refreshment for our souls, and we don't do either. Sometimes God has to intervene for our own good. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Regarding the shepherd's constraint, let me mention 2 simple practical things. First of all, beloved, there's the need for rest. The need for rest. None of us are machines. And the sooner we realize that, the better. A pastor one day was walking up the street to do a message and was met by one of his congregation. It was his day off. He had on his old clothes because he was getting petrol to go to the garden to cut the grass. He wasn't the way he should have been, and a lady stopped him and she said to him, "Pastor, you're not working today." "No," said the pastor, "this is my day off." She said, "Do you not know the devil never takes a day off?" He said, "That's right, missus." And he said, "I'm sure you wouldn't want me to be like him." But you know something? There are those today who desperately feel if the devil doesn't take a day off, why should the pastor? Why should I? Why should you? To rest. To be refreshed. To be restored. To get out of the heat of the battle of everyday living. You see, I don't subscribe to those Christians today who say it's a sin to relax or to rest. There are times we need to do it, and sometimes when we don't, He makes me to lie down. God knows us through and through. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. He knows our makeup. He knows how much we can take. He knows what's best for us. And sometimes He has to set us apart. Because if He doesn't, we can come apart altogether. Beloved, when was the last time you thought about that in the busyness of your life? I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just trying to be practical. But I need to get that there done today. You're heading out in the morning and the last comment to your children is, see you tonight, and you're home tonight, and you're home that late, the children are in bed and you haven't seen them. You're chasing your tail to keep up with everybody else that's going on in life, and you're just busy, 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 busy. Do you ever think about taking a day off? Putting your children in the car and taking them away for a day that you and your family together can relax and be refreshed. Jesus once said to His own disciples, and He said it for the right reason when He says, come ye apart and rest a while. I remember speaking with a man on one occasion just when I entered the ministry. He sat down with me quite honestly and said to me about the dangers of Christian work. He said his church expected him to do everything, and he did it because he didn't want his people to think he was lazy. Wrong motive. He worked hard. He worked so hard he became exhausted. He was so busy running around chasing his tail, he hadn't time to read and pray, and his ministry soon became stale. Exhaustion led to depression, and because he was afraid to ask the church for time off, he took a nervous breakdown. And then finally he left the ministry altogether. In a world that's so intense, there's the need for rest. There's the nature of this rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He doesn't make us lie down anywhere or everywhere. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He does so for a purpose. David, as a shepherd, knew if the sheep were going to be refreshed, they needed to be nourished. David would have taken them to green pastures. These would have been areas of lush grass where they could eat and be filled, where they could lie down and be satisfied and contented. It's the same for us. When God brings us out of something and sets us down for a while and brings us out of the heat of the battle, it's so that our souls might be refreshed. God wants to nourish us. God wants to feed us. God wants to prepare us for what lies ahead. God wants us to encourage ourselves in Him. And the green pastures for us is the living Word of God. Don't waste opportunities God gives you when you're set aside. Nourish yourself in His Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. Avail yourself of His grace. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Do you see, when you do that, it takes away the blame and the guilt and all the things that are so much part and parcel of being laid aside, and it gives Him the opportunity to set us back on our feet again. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's what I'm calling the shepherd's constraint. But I want you to see here the shepherd's care. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, if you read through this psalm, you'll find it full of rich descriptive language. And this is a most beautiful picture. You must remember that the land in which David lived was very warm, very dry. In places, it was very barren. Unlike Northern Ireland, where David lived, didn't have much rain. In fact, David might have seen rain twice a year. It's what the Bible calls the early and the latter rain. I suppose, in a sense, you know, we only have rain twice a year too, from October to April and then from May to September. But in David's time, when the rains came, they were enjoyed both by the shepherd and the sheep. Now, I'm not a sheep farmer. My wife's a farmer's daughter. She refers to me often as a townie who knows nothing about farming. But I'm told by good authority, because I asked this, that if sheep don't get water, they'll not survive. Of course, they catch the early dew in the grass, they drink from a stream, but without water and food, they will not survive. It was therefore necessary for the shepherd in David's day to take them to a stream where they could be well watered. But there was a problem, because the sheep would not normally drink out of a fast flowing stream. They would only drink from still water. And that's what David has here in his mind. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Listen to this. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Two things. Note firstly, a leading shepherd. He simply says, he leadeth me. I've sat down and looked at that from every angle and every commentary that I have. And I've looked at that and I've come to this conclusion, that when David uses these words, he leadeth me, he's giving us a picture of continual and constant supervision. He leadeth me. The shepherd in David's day, and in David's case, would lead his sheep to the best grass available to them. He'd lead his sheep to those still drinking waters. He'd lead them. He wouldn't drive them. He led them. All they had to do was follow him. They trusted him. He knew what was best for them. You know, as a young Christian, I remember singing that little chorus, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow." Why should you and I today follow the leading of the divine shepherd? Well, let me tell you why. He knows the way that we take. You're sitting here this morning, confused, upset, worried, despondent. All kinds of emotions are flooding through your system because of your own personal circumstances, and you don't know why you feel like this, and you don't know why you're here. He knows the way that you take. He knows what's best for us. He knows the dangers. He knows the pitfalls we need to avoid. He knows the place of safety for us. He knows everything that we need for our journey through life. And all he says to me today is, John, follow me. Follow me. Ah, but Lord, what about, don't worry about that, follow me. But Lord, what if, don't worry about the ifs, follow me. Sometimes that's difficult to do, because sometimes we think that we know better than he does. And sometimes we want to do things differently from what he does. But you know the problem when we stop following? We act on impulse and end up straying from his side. We end up doing our own thing, and that's why some of you this morning, and I say this not critically, I say it very lovingly, that's why some of you today are in bypath meadows, away from the Lord. You took matters into your own hands and you thought you knew better from the Lord, and you stopped following. Instead today of those still waters, there are turbulent waters floating in all around you, and you don't know why it's like that. Listen, folks, the day and hour we stop following him and we take matters into our own hands, that's the days when the dangers come and the pitfalls come And that's the time we start to go the wrong way. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. The scripture tells us, Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Why, some of us think today that's just a good text for a young couple starting out 50 years ago in marriage. That's a text that every believer should take to heart today and start off every single morning by saying, Lord, everything today that comes my way, I leave in your hands. The things I can't do, Lord, I'm depending on you. The things I don't understand, Lord, I'm depending on you. The crises that come into my life, Lord, I'm depending on you. Lead me and lead me constantly and continually. Let me never stray from your side, nor ever step out to go my own way. Because the hymn writer's right, all the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? That's why the psalmist also says in Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me. You see, when you commit everything to Him and trust Him in every situation, it's easier to cope with the sudden changes, and it's easier to cope with the difficult experiences. During the American Civil War, a Confederate soldier was sitting deep in a lonely wood, keeping guard over the rest of the camp. He hated nights like that because he always felt so alone, but his turn had come. He was sitting there in the woods. It was dark and dangerous, and the soldier only had the light of the moon for his company. He was terrified at the thought of being alone. He was aware of a great danger he was in. He was filled with fear. But he remembered those days at the Sunday school where he'd been brought up. He remembered mornings sitting in church, and he began to sing some words that he could remember. And he began to sing, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. He continued singing with the words, other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stead. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. He continued to sing the same verse again and again until the fear had left him. A number of years later, the war was over. He was a Christian now. He was in church singing for the Lord, and one night he rose to his feet. Without any words of introduction, he sang that same song, Jesus, lover of my soul. At the end of the meeting, a man walked up the church to where he was sitting in the front seat and came to me, said to me, tell me something. I've heard that voice before. Tell me, did you ever sing that song one night during the war as you sat alone in the woods? Yes, said the man. I did that night, for my heart was gripped with fear. Well, said the man, that night I was one of a group of Union soldiers who came upon your camp. My gun was turned on you and I was ready to fire when I heard you sing that song. He said, I couldn't fire and we slipped away. But I've never forgotten that voice. And I've never forgotten those words, Jesus, lover of my soul. Listen, friends. Wherever we are today, we're not alone. For our shepherd is with us. Whatever we are facing today, we don't face it alone, for the shepherd is with us. Whatever we face, we need not panic because he is aware of everything we face. There's the leading shepherd, and there's a lovely scene, and I'll close in just a moment. A leading shepherd, a lovely scene. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The still waters. These are still waters, not stormy seas. These waters speak of serenity and peacefulness. It speaks to my heart today of being in the center of God's will, because there's no better place to be. And no matter how stormy it gets, and no matter how difficult it gets, we know that in the midst of those stormy waters, stead upon Jehovah. Stead upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. When we step out of the will of God and do our own thing, we bring many a ripple on the waters. I'm not suggesting today that in Christ that life runs smoothly all the time, because it doesn't. I get discouraged. I get down. I feel like throwing in the towel, like all of you do from time to time. But when you sit down in his presence and realize you're in the place where God wants you to be, in the center of his will, then peace like a river floodeth your soul. And that's the way it is. It's a peace, the Bible says, the peace of God that passes all understanding. The uniqueness of our relationship, Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. The richness of our relationship, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Do you think today that it might be necessary for you to come apart for a while before you come apart altogether? There's no shame. And there's no sin in resting and knowing the Lord's restoration in the heat of the battle. Now let's pray. Father, would you help us today to know that as we press on in life with many a battle to face, with many an obstacle to overcome, where many of us at times feel stressed out with all that's happening in our lives, would you teach us that it's essential to rest and to know your restoration and to enjoy the very peace that you alone can give as we journey through this life with all its ups and downs. Lord, we pray today that we might be in that place where we follow your leading and where we know your love and where continually we rest under your constant care. Maybe there's one or two today, more than others, who need this word. Would you bless it to all of us, but especially to them, for Jesus' sake.